From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Here we are, the Forum for the Fans, the Blue Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We're going to talk these NBA prospects, and we're going to reserve the last 15 minutes of this episode to discuss things going around the NBA. A lot of moving pieces, a lot of coaching moves, start dates. Matter of fact, I'll highlight it right now, but we'll get into that later. As far as the NBA, a proposed schedule start in December, right before Christmas, the training camp. December 1st, and of course the NBA Players Union agreeing to an 8-week heads up to the start of the season. So these are not set in stone dates, but more of a proposal. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the episode, along with coaching moves, potential free agents, in which we'll actually tackle in the next episode in 2 weeks. Matter of fact, let me run that back, because we're going to be, after this episode, we'll be back in 2 weeks to really round up all the NBA draft prospects on November the 11th, and then back a week later after the NBA draft on November the 18th to discuss the picks we actually did make. So Wednesday, November the 11th, we're going to talk more prospect stuff, what we like, what we dislike, and then, of course, November 18th, back-to-back weeks, we'll have the analysis of what we thought as far as our picks or selections. I'm looking forward to this episode. We don't have a lot of time to get everything in. I want to shout out to Dom. The last time Dom and Chris, the coach, we were on the documentary, Mr. Chibs. I did see it yesterday, Dom. Kenny Anderson's documentary. Not bad. It took me back to a place. I remember some of the clips from his high school days and with Georgia Tech, with Dennis Scott. Coach Clemen out there in Georgia Tech, but let's bring on the stakeholders. We're going to have a dialogue because the Knicks. We're going to talk Knicks. We're going to get to the NBA as well. But the Knicks, as we know it, drafting at number 8, at number 27, and at number 38. I have Knickerbocker Avs thoughts on this episode as well. I will shout all that out. Don, say hello to the people. How you doing, sir? And then we'll get on Chris. How you doing, Don? Say a quick hello.
Good evening, Stephen.
Good evening, man. Good. Thank you for the recommendation, man. You know, I finally did get around to it.
Yeah.
All right. Shout out to Dom. Chris, the coach, what's going on, man? Good to have you back, man. How's everything, man?
Man, it's always good to hear your voices.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, Dom, I am thoroughly intrigued about this draft class as far as There are some sleepers, especially in the mid-tier of that first round. I was looking at this, Dom, how the Knicks could go about this, all right? I don't know how you looked at it, and Chris, the coach, how you looked at it. I'll say this real quick, and I'll go back to my thoughts and further because I don't want to be long-winded. But the Knicks have a lot of holes. We all know this, right? But if I was to look at it as far as what the Knicks could do with this draft as far as either mortgaging that second round pick or mortgage it or try to move up in the draft to get the guy that they want. I'm kind of looking at it, Dom and Chris, as far as who could be available at 8, who could be available at 27, and or who could be available at 38. If the Knicks decide to not move up or down, keep their pick, stay as is. I'm trying to go for the point guard small forward combination if it was me. Now, I don't know where you guys stand. Now, if I was to do that, there's two ways I'm looking at it, Dom. I am looking at either a combination of Tyrese Halliburton from Iowa State at number 8, and then if the Knicks still stay where they are later in the first round, I want to go after Robert Woodard. I think that would be an excellent first round for the Knicks. If they don't go that route, I would not mind them going in the flip position as far as they could go small forward at 8 and then go get the point guard. So I was also looking at it like this, Dom, that they could go after Patrick Williams, a guy you're probably familiar with in the ACC at Florida State. He has some good games versus North Carolina. and then come back and get the point guard from France. Now, I know the Knicks fans are tired of French point guards, Frank and Lakina. The French point guard, Theo Maledon, I think he's got a nice game. He reminds me of a poor man's Dame Lillard. I'm highlighting it like that, Dom, is how I see it from the first round. And I also have a plan for the second round if the Knicks don't move up. But, Dom, let us know what your thoughts are on any of these draft prospects that you like. Then we'll go to Chris. Then we're going to come back to me. I'll explain further with my picks, my thought process with these with the prospects in the first round and the second round. Go ahead, Dom.
Well, you're almost right on point, at least with the eighth pick, because, again, reading mock drafts, they got the Knicks with Haliburton, which is a good pick because he's a little versatile. He's got some size. He's got some weight. He's a pretty good shooter. They definitely need – see, that's where you get – that's where we all get a little bending, Chris. I mean, Steve, with the – Chris and Steve, with the – what comes first, the chicken or the egg, the point guard or the shooter, because we need both of them. Would it be – I hate to say this. Would it be out of the realm to try and package both your picks to move up in the draft? Like, let's say even number six, maybe. Atlanta don't need a point guard. So can we parlay that into a point guard? The kid from Florida State, or I think Ball, who a lot of people are high on, I'm skeptical. But can you parlay your way up to a team again? Like Atlanta at number six, number five, Cleveland, don't need a point guard. The list goes on and on with, again, the needs of the teams as we look at them. Atlanta got Trey. The Cavs got both of them guys, Sexton and the other kid. They're almost a combination, two-point guards on the court at one time. So where's their heads at? Again, would it hurt, guys? That's all I'm asking. Because if you go down to number 27, you take a shooter at eight. What point guard's left at 27? If you take a point guard at eight, what shooter's left at 27? So to be honest, guys, it's not a bad position to go in. Again, what's scary, not to get winded, what's scary is them proposing to start the season on December 18th. So you're talking about packaging a lot of stuff November 1st. To December 1st, because December 1st is when training camp is supposed to open up. I don't know if you guys heard the new proposal. 18th start, December 1st, training camp. So are they even going to have exhibition games? And in the Knicks' case, they really got to be thinking quick because there's a lot of roster slots that need to be identified. Are we keeping this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy? So that means your roster is not even full, let alone your draft pick. Your draft pick will be picked on November 18th. So you got from November 18th to December 1st to get your draft pick in order and get who you're going to sign, whether you're going to go for free agents, who you're going to keep in 12 days. So, and of course, there's always the possibility of signing somebody during the season, whatever, whatever. Is it out of the realm for Thibodeau to think one of those point guards that we have a million of them on the roster now, will one of them suffice if we take a shooter and there's nothing left at 27 and maybe you get 27 pick and your first second round pick into something this year, something next year? I don't know, guys. It's, again, the draft is a lot of speculation and I'm just speculating. But the Knicks, believe it or not, have a few options, guys. What are you going to do with that 27th pick? What are you going to do with the eighth pick? Again, you take a point guard, what shooting guard are you going to get? I prefer, this is just me, guys, I prefer the Knicks go for the shooter first. That's just me. And I'll pass it over to
you. Do you have a particular prospect in mind as far as the shooter? Which particular shooter? Which particular prospect?
Haliburton.
Okay.
Because
oh, so you want to go Haliburton first?
Yeah, he's 6'5", 210, something like that. So I'm assuming with that size, the bulk, it wouldn't be impossible for him to go to the hoop without being paranoid, like being 6'5 and 190 pounds, and he's strictly a shooter. this kid may be a good versatile pick at number eight. But again, where are the Knicks' heads? What are we going to do with the 18 point guards we got on the team? Are we going to let them all go? I think some of them are still under contract. So what do you do with all of them? Can you package some of them into a trade, a deal, a pick? I don't know. That's what's confusing. But again, guys, other than the point guard, which has been a thorn in our side forever, very recently, it's the shooting, the perimeter shooting in today's NBA. That's a thorn in the Knicks' side right now to go with the point guard. So I go with the shooter first, guys. That's just me.
That's fine. And before we move on, what about where do you do at 27? And if you said that you wanted to parlay, there's a possibility of parlaying the pick or staying at number eight, then what do you want to do at number 27? Do you have a particular prospect in mind that would fit what you want with the Knicks? And then we go to Chris after that.
Right. I don't think the kid from Florida State is still going to be available. That's just me. I think that I don't even know who this guy is that the mock draft has the Knicks getting at 27. Maybe one of you guys do. I'm trying to find him again real quick, guys.
I have my thoughts. I want to get yours. Let me get Chris's. I got my thoughts. I already mapped this out. Let's see. Anything else, Don? Matter of fact, you have a question for Chris on this. Give Chris something.
Nico Manano, whatever his name is, he's the guy they got projected to go at 27. He's a point guard, 6'3", 180. I haven't heard of him, but he's a point. Again, guys, at 27, are any of the prospective point guards going to be available? That's my question to Coach. Again, what you asked me, do you parlay the picks to get a point guard earlier? Or do you keep your picks at 8 and 27?
All right. That's a good question. Chris, what you got for us, man? You heard Don's question. What do you want to do? Which prospects are you looking at?
So this year is a guard-heavy draft. Now, it's interesting that he brought up Atlanta because I think the first four or five guys, like, we pretty much know who's going to go in any order, but we know who the top five guys are because the names are constantly being talked about. But I think Atlanta is really where the draft is going to start because do they want to go big with the kid from USC or do they take somebody like Halliburton so that he can help out Young with the ball handling duties and guarding some of those bigger point guards? And that's where everything is going to start getting interesting because after that you got Detroit and then you got the Knicks. Now, for me personally, I'm tired of wasting all these damn draft picks on guys that play the same position. You got a kid like Knox on the team. Everybody keeps saying he don't got no heart. He's soft. Well, you know what? You guys are getting paid millions of dollars. Make him tough. Build people around him that's going to push him around and make him get better. It's not just he played his rookie year, now his sophomore year, we don't know about him. Make him better. Why is it that we're always giving these guys away and then they go somewhere else and they become better players? We got to start developing a lot better. I'm tired of wasting picks. We had the chance to get Michael Porter Jr. We took Kevin Knox. Use Kevin Knox, make him better. And with that eighth pick, I mean, it's hard to say because we got a nice young big. He's not, you know, ideal, but he's a nice young big. He blocks shots, runs the floor. You know, you got RJ. We're using him at the shooting guard spot, but I would still take more shooting around him. You know, the kid Okoro from Auburn, he's a good defender. Mm-hmm. I don't know how great of a shooter he is, but This is a guy that if you bring him in, he's going to push RJ. He's going to push Kevin Knox. The point guards, we got three point guards on the roster. Get rid of one, I hear. Orlando wants Dennis Smith Jr.
Okay, turn that into a pick, turn it into something. Frank, he is who he is. He's not going to be anything different from what we've seen the last 3 years. So do we pick up somebody who's like a Cole Anthony or a Tyrell Terry from Stanford? Or do we, you know, somebody like that we've seen the highlights. Cole Anthony's from New York. Family, dad played for the Knicks. Do we bring him in just for the name, for the excitement, and hope that he gets better? It's hard to say. I would definitely go with a shooter. RJ's not a shooter yet, so we need a shooter. We need people that's going to light it up because we got to stretch this floor, especially the way the game is being played right now. As far as 27, so mm-hmm. Nico Mannion, to answer Don's question, Nico Mannion is white dude, red hair, point guard from Arizona. He could play some ball. Is he ready for New York? No. Send him somewhere, small city like a Sacramento or San Antonio or something, let him develop over there. He's not ready for New York. For, you know, that 27th pick, yeah, man, we could go quickly from Kentucky. What's the kid, Jay Scrub, that everybody's talking about, the D2 kid? I've been watching hours of his film. He could light it up. He's a little awkward with his body, but he could light it up. You know, and it's hard to say. And, you know, I personally would go with a big, strong, big. Like somebody like a, especially if we got all these softies around us, we need somebody like a Charles Oakley who's going to come in there and just grab rebounds and push people around. Somebody that could develop by learning from a Taj Gibson or somebody like that. That's just my thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, before I go back into my thought process, let me shout out to Av. Av couldn't make this episode, but his thoughts was more on the salary cap. He says the Knicks salary thing opens the door for a possible overhaul of talent, and a lot of pieces moving is going to piss a lot of fans off who are attached to the current players. But frankly, everyone wanted to give the new administration a chance. You have to be able to live with whatever outcome that too includes our young guys and draft pieces. We all can't be Leon Rose, Scott Perry, and World Wide West, so buckle up because it's going to be the team you thought it would be. That is from the infamous Knickerbocker Av, Knickerbocker Av on Facebook and Twitter. All right, now I got some answers for both of you gentlemen, man, because I can answer both your questions, and I'm with you guys on shooting. But also, if you've heard my rants through the Knicks seasons, I've always said we kind of need to be a team that's kind of athletic at the two and the three position, because we got to look at teams like Toronto, teams within our division, Brooklyn. They have pure athletes at those positions, and I want to be more athletic, especially at the two or the three. I don't think Kevin Knox is athletic. That does not necessarily mean they ship them all. I'm with you, Chris, as far as making them tougher. And I think the order I thought on how to solve the Knicks' problems while improving making players, other players better, like a Kevin Knox. That's why I'm with you, Dom, on Tyrese Halliburton. I have two options, Dom. And this is not including mortgage in the picks, because the Knicks probably could do this. But if we're staying put at 8, 27, and 38, option number one, I will go Tyrese Halliburton at the point guard. And like you said, Chris, if that means Dennis Smith Jr. is out the way, he's on his way out. You're probably going to have – I don't know if there's going to be a home for Frank Ntilikina, so we'll wait and see on that. But Halliburton at 8, and then I will come back to Robert Woodard and check him out. He's a very strong, junkyard dog-ish 3 that you could have him compete day in and day out with Kevin Knox. Robert Woodard from Mississippi State, 6'7", 230 pounds. He had attitude in that paint, man. I mean, you said somebody tough like Charles Oakley, or you, this is the guy, Chris. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with film. Plays ball at an SEC. He has hops, and he shoots 43% from 3. He can knock it down. He didn't shoot a lot of them, but he has the ability to knock them down. He was excellent from the top of the key, especially in today's NBA with the pick and pop, and he's great in the corners from three when he did shoot them. He actually had, honestly, Dom, looking at their player comparison, he has a better shooting stroke than Patrick Williams. I'll get to him in a second. But if I had to compare the forwards, I mean, I can go either way with it. Because either or, Patrick Williams from Florida State, Robert Woodard from Mississippi State, those two particular players are going to push Kevin Knox. This is what it's about for me. You're making your team better with dogs. They're both dogs, and you're going to make Kevin Knox compete. That's kind of the thought process that I had. So I would go with option A, Halliburton and Robert Woodard. Option B, if I don't go Halliburton, you could always flip it. I go forward guard. I would look into Patrick Williams from Florida State. He's very raw, but he's a 3-and-D type of dude. His jumper is more of a project than Robert Woodard. In today's NBA, like you said, Dom, you need shooting. But if you want to go the shooting route, you go to option A. But if you don't go that route, Patrick Williams, who's 6'8", 225 pounds, and his defense, I mean, the New York Knicks love defense. New York Knicks fans love defense. Madison Square Garden love defense. His defense is off the charts. And now Wilbert Woodard's is too. But, I mean, I would say Patrick Williams' defense is better at the three. He could interchangeably play defense just like Robert Woodard. And that's the only thing is the question is his jumper. It's not as fluid as a Robert Woodard. Now, if I went number 8 with him, I could come back in number 27 and get that point guard from France. Now, I know Knicks fans are tired of French point guards. I get it. But you got to check out Theo Maledon. I think he is possibly to be there. He's a 6'5 guard. He reminds me of a guy like Damian Lillard. Not as crisp, but he's like a poor man's Damian Lillard. He goes to the hole. He has hops. He has range. He could create his own shot for three. He's a three-point shot maker, and he played in the grown man's league out there in Europe. Check out the tape on Theo Maledon. He's a fantastic passer, too. And then the thing is, he has a good mid-range game, just like Halliburton. You can go either way with that, but I would probably go Halliburton just a slight bit over the other option. But here's the answer for as far as more shooting, Dom, I'm coming back to you. Number 38, if the Knicks don't get rid of the pick, you got to go with Desmond Bane from TCU. This is why I like the fact that you could get a senior. There's something about players who, like the Draymond Greens or these seasoned seniors or veteran players from overseas, you get them in the second round. Desmond Bane from TCU is a purifier shooter. He could shoot it. He could light it up. Let me tell you something, Dom. Over his last three seasons, his sophomore year, his junior year, his senior year, he shot 46%, 42%, 44% from three. He has NBA range. He could light it up. I saw him in games versus Baylor coming off curls. He has a really awkward follow through, Dom, but it goes in. All right. He's an average passer, average to above average passer. Not a great passer, but is a pure two that will push RJ Barrett. That would be my way to go with him. He goes to the hole. He shoots high off the window. He goes to the paint. He's tough. Matter of fact, all these guys are tough. Every guy I mentioned goes to the paint. They shoot it. They draw contact. They're going to go to the line. So Desmond Bane is a senior, and I like seniors in the second round because sometimes they play with a chip on their shoulder. And I think this solves the shooting problem or the shooting woes that we have because the point guards I named could shoot, the shooting guard could shoot, and you got toughness behind Kevin Knox. That's how I looked at it. For 8, 27, 38. Dom, any additional thoughts on any other process we have not mentioned? Their thoughts on my analysis or whatever Chris said? Go ahead, fire away, man. I'm sorry I was a little long-winded, but I wanted to explain my thought process on how to attack this from the Knicks perspective. And you're getting athleticism on top of that. They're on their way to that athleticism aspect I've been asking about from the 2 and the 3.
There's a kid coming out of Washington. 6'9", about 240. Of course, he played center in college, but I read about him earlier. This is one of the few guys that's going to go late in the picks, in the draft, but has an NBA-ready body. as far as his body and his physique and his athleticism, would it be out of the realm? Because right now, Toronto got the 29th pick. I don't think they need a power forward. I don't. They got Siakam. They got some big that they're still going to bring back because they're under contract. So would it be out of the realm if you want a big, a power forward to maybe get mentored by Randall? If we don't even know if Randall's still going to be in the picture. But again, but what you said, Steve, about the kid that played the 4 years, I always harp on that. Buddy Hield.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he go higher in the draft? Because he did 4 years of college? Shooters can shoot. If the kid could shoot and he played 4 years of college, guess what? We ain't got to baby step him like we have to do Knox, Barrett.
Right.
And the rest of these one and done we picked up along the way. So he's ready because he at least did his 4 years of college. So can he be, I hate to say, a Buddy Hield? Can he be a Buddy Hield? You know, he got 4 years, like I said. So that means he's at least 21, 22 years old. He's not a kid no more. So I don't know where the NBA lost focus on this with these strictly one and done. These guys got to go higher, and the guy that busted his ass in college, excuse my French, that did 4 years, he's got to go later because he did 4 years. Tell me when a shooter stops shooting. We had this conversation 2 years ago, Steve, when I was talking about Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield didn't stop learning how to shoot because he left college. And he's shooting in the NBA. Some say he may be a head case. He's trying to get his way off the team. But he can shoot. And the Knicks need shooters. So I don't care if the kid did 4 years of college or 6 years of college. If he can shoot and we need shooting. Because guess what, guys? I don't think it's out of the realm that one day the Knicks wake up and say, R.J. Barrett got to play the three. If he don't develop a better shot, the Knicks are going to be at a stalemate. What do we do with this kid? You know, you got a shooting guard that's shooting 28%, shooting 54% from the foul line. Something may have to be done. I'm not saying it's going to, guys. I'm just saying hypothetically, maybe his body, his size, his going to the basket would better suit the Knicks as a three. And you have a point guard and a shooting guard in today's NBA. I don't know. Again, all of what we're saying, guys, is going to have to be done at rapid speed. If the NBA goes along with their plan of starting this season in approximately less than 2 months, they better get their ducks in order now. And again, Steve, not to beat a dead horse, the Knicks are in a good position because nobody had more time to think about this than the Knicks. They've had their front office set for some time. Now it's time to put up, period. Get your ducks in order right now. Have your picks or your projected picks. Still got to go with the roster. You still got to get guys on the roster, off the roster, keep them on the roster, whatever. You're running out of time, guys, to be honest. So whatever they do in the draft has to be in combination of what they're doing with the roster. That's the sticking point right now, guys. Like I said, I don't know if y'all heard it. They're planning on starting December 18th. Don't give you a lot of time, man. November 1st is Sunday, I think. Saturday, Sunday, I think. So that gives you 17 days Saturday. Before the draft. Yeah, 17 days before the draft, 13 days before training camp. Oof.
I think they'll be fine, Dom. I mean, they've set up with the COVID and then the NBA bubble. They've had a lot of time to sit back and really analyze this. I don't have no reason not to think they're not ready. Chris, anything you'd like to add as far as what Dom said, as far as going with a big, a 3-and-D type of guy, Isaiah from out of Washington, your thoughts on the Knicks roster, anything else with the prospects we have not said? You want wings? You want more, what you said as far as Okoro from Auburn, maybe a Cole Anthony may be there. You said that Nico is not going to be ready for the big city. You are a very great basketball man. How do you look at what we can do with our opportunities at these draft positions?
Well, first I want to say there's a kid that we've all watched for years, and we've probably seen about 20 of his games, and nobody's talking about him. And that's the kid Azubuike from Kansas. That's a big strong kid, 4 years, well taught, good footwork. He's not today's NBA big, but so what? I don't see this whole 3-point barrage lasting for too much longer. This is a big, strong cat, and he's young. And you know Bill Self, he doesn't send any whack dudes off to the NBA. So I think he's not getting enough attention. I think Azubuike could be a steal in the second round. You know, I do think we do need wings. That first round should be dedicated to the wings because, you know, I don't know what the issue is with Knox. I like Knox for some reason. I think we haven't tapped his potential. I agree with Don. RJ was probably better suited for three position, but I think they're using him at the two with the hopes that Knox will get better. But if you looked at last year, they hardly played the two of them together. And if you're going to be bringing up young players, you got to play them together. You got to make them used to one another so that they can get going. Eventually, they got to have to take over. So I think we didn't do them justice by that. A lot of times I was watching games and they were subbing them for each other. I didn't understand that. Get them in there, get them together. That's the only way they're going to develop. You know, so I think that first round we have to dedicate it to guys that's going to be able to shoot. And I agree with you. We do need defenders. We always like defenders. We need to bring it back to something that's going to get the crowd excited. We don't need big top everything. Excuse me. We just need guys that's going to come out there and show heart. They're going to play hard and they're going to play the New York way. Everybody in New York is retired of watching all of this, spending all our money and losing every year, and the season is done in May. We tired of this. So get somebody tough, get somebody who grew up living out their car and only had two pairs of sneakers and probably didn't play AAU because they didn't have the money or whatever you got to do. Give me somebody straight from the streets, somebody who missed a couple meals. That's what I need in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you as far as the shooting. I think I'll say this again. We'll continue on with the episode. As far as Azubuike, you know, it kind of reminds me more of a roll off player like a Clint Capella. He kind of rolls off the point guard like Devin Dotson from Kansas and catches a lot of alley oops in the paint. He's almost kind of like a smaller version, he's a bigger guy as far as thicker than Mitchell Robinson, but they kind of do the same thing. Now, as far as bigs, you know, we are heavy with power forwards with Bobby Portis last year. Before Morris got traded, of course, Julius Randle, Taj Gibson should still be there. I mean, these are veteran guys. I don't know if that could be a play for the future. But a lot of this NBA that we see, they play a lot of small ball. I don't know if the Knicks are in that position to try to say, okay, you're going to have to play to a bigger roster than we are, and we're going to draft bigger guys. I don't think the Knicks are there yet. I think they kind of need to match up with athleticism. But this is why I really believe this combination with Woodard or Williams and Maladon or Halliburton, because you're getting the shooting, you're getting the athleticism. Both point guards can shoot. They can shoot well and they can pass well. And they're both 6'5". They're big point guards. And then the small forwards, and I think to your point, Chris, Kevin Knox, to me, never has been pushed, A, by his head coach, B, by another player on his roster. Like, this is pure threats. Now, I don't even know if we're going to see defensive intensity from Kevin Knox because of Tom Thibodeau. Like, if we haven't seen it in the first 2 years, Dom, you know, I just don't see it. But anything could be possible and anything could turn around. But Dom, to your point, you're right. As far as things are going to get rolling, they have projected dates with training camp if they can agree to in December 1st. They can have floating dates of start of December 18th to December 22nd, right before Christmas, a full week or half a week before Christmas. But yeah, I am for toughness. I am for athleticism and I am for shooting. And I think that combination, when I looked at, I said, we could maximize our potential with these draft picks without without moving up in the draft, not without giving up draft capital. So, I'm with R.J. Barrett as far as remember they were playing a lot of goofy stuff with him, allowing him to play point guard because of the Dennis Smith situation. Frank Ntilikina wasn't really getting into the game, and he was kind of out of position running the point guard. Remember with Fizdale, I never liked that, man. Put him at the two. Hopefully he's developed more of a jumper, and let's assume that he is, because I mean if that's not working, then I don't know. But that's another reason why I said. To bring the guard from TCU because he's a pure two shooter. Maybe not as rangy like Buddy Hield, but he will come off those curls like Ray Allen. Like a poor man's Ray Allen, awkward release, but he's not gun shy with shooting that thing, and he will make them. If he's making them at a 46, 42, 44% clip in college, I would say that's about a good 37% at least in the NBA, easily. And the Knicks could use perimeter shooting. And that perimeter shooting is not coming from Julius Randle. I'm tired of Julius Randle chucking them up, but that we don't have to worry. We could definitely assume that's not going to happen with Tom Thibodeau because I think it was just kind of a free fall last year. Dom, if you have anything else you want to add with the prospects, because we will also talk about this in a couple of weeks and as well as the free agents that's going to be soon after that. And then the draft the following week. But, Don, anything else on the prospects? But if not, we could move on with the conversation as far as the new head coaches and new places. If you want to get into that, free agents, anywhere you want to go with this, Don, we'll follow your lead and we'll go to Chris and then myself.
You brought up a good point when we get away from the draft with the Tom Thibodeau. A lot of things that we seen last year. I'm just going to assume, with a capital A, that we ain't going to see a lot of that. Like you just mentioned, Steve, we got sick of seeing Julius Randle doing what Julius Randle was doing. He was a point guard. He was a power forward. He was a three-point shooter. I don't assume, again, I'm just assuming that that ain't happening to Tom Thibodeau. We're at least going to have, again, once everything is set in place prior to December 1st or shortly after that, I think the first thing we're going to notice is structure. There's going to be some form of structure. It may piss some people off, may even piss some fans off, but the one thing we're going to have is structure. I don't think we're going to see Julius Randle dribbling the ball up the court and stopping and pulling up for a three. I don't think we're going to see that. I said this before. If Kevin Knox makes this cut and the Knicks don't package him away, this will be his last opportunity to put up or shut up under Tom Thibodeau. I know I'm putting a lot of stock in Thibodeau, but this is the reason we got Tom Thibodeau. We've seen what we've had in the past, guys. We have a good foundation with the front office and the coach. So a lot of things are going to change, and I hope fans are ready for it and stop all the bickering of why is Thibodeau doing this to this guy, that to this guy. Because, again, I always say to Steve, we're not privy to practice. We're not privy to workouts. That's where the coach and the assistant coaches come in. So when you see a guy going further and further to the end of the bench, don't get mad at the coach. Something happened that we're not privy to. And this just could be the turning point, good or bad, for a Kevin Knox. So let's just I'm just ready to buckle down, see what the Knicks do. And I'll tell you what, guys, even with a makeshift roster, Tom Thibodeau himself will win you some games with his coaching. So let's just not get excited. Let's not get pissed off. Let this process work. And I don't think, guys, to be honest, I do not think the Knicks are done. I don't think the Knicks are putting all their stock in the draft. I think the Knicks are going to go out and get some players to get us some respectability right off the bat while some of these guys learn the NBA game. I don't think we're going to stand pat, guys. I know a lot of people are going to get mad. Oh, why don't we go get this guy and spend money? Because the Knicks want some stability, and they want to move, and they want to move quick. I do not think with all the money the Knicks invested with this staff and this coach and his assistant coaches that this is a 10-year plan. I think the Knicks are going to surprise a lot of people. It may piss a lot of Knicks fans off. But we're going to gain some serious respectability this year, fellas. That's what I like to say, Steve, as far as the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Draft and all of that, okay. But that's what I want to see. And I think what the Knicks are going to do is just be talking. I don't think they brought all these guys in, fellas, to be developing 64 players. I think they're going for some respectability and move this franchise forward right now. All the rest of that shit, that'll fall in place, time permitting. But I don't think we're going to stand pat, guys, and go with this development for 4 or 5. Mm-mm. No, I think we're going to see some pretty shocking moves. So I hope the fans are ready. I know I am, Steve. I'm tired, man. I don't have a lot left in me to be waiting 7, 8 more years for some, you know, magic wand. No, and I don't think the Knicks are either, fellas. Again, that's just me talking out loud, Steve.
Right, right. And I think going back, because let's go ahead far away, but I just think when the Knicks had stability at the point guard position last season, it's specifically Elfrid Payton when he came off the injury, there was a little bit of a rhythm of them of winning games. And I think the point guard, obviously, when you go smaller, you can't really D these guys like you can back in the day. This is what makes the point guard position very competitive. I mean, you look at Toronto with Van Vliet and Lowry, Kemba Walker in Boston, you got Kyrie in Brooklyn. You know, the division has very talented point guards, and if you go that point guard route, who's not afraid of going to the paint, and he has Halliburton, you know, he has a set shot, and I don't hope the staff doesn't try to tinker with that. Sometimes when you come to the league, you try to jack up with their form, you end up with a Fultz situation like what happened in Philadelphia, Markelle Fultz. We don't want that because Halliburton, his jumper is a 150% set shot. Chris, anything else you want to add, man? We could go around the NBA and get some thoughts on all these moves, man, with these coaches and players around the other team too.
So I do agree. The draft is not the answer to all of our needs. When you look at the free agency, you know, Taj Gibson is going to be very valuable because he knows what to expect firsthand from Thibodeau. So he's going to be able to guide these other players. Now, do we go out and get somebody like a Montrezl Harrell? Or do we get a Bogdanović? You know, he's a shooter. If we don't fill those needs in the draft, or do we try to make a trade to take on a big contract? I keep saying they want to take on a big contract. You know, what does that contract look like? Is that I hate to say this, but is it a Russell Westbrook or somebody like that? You know, it's going to be interesting to see. And it's also interesting to see, you know, a lot of guys aren't happy with their teams right now. A lot of shooting guards, small forwards are not happy where they are. And everybody can't go down to Miami. So why not come to New York? You know, Oladipo's a big name out there. You know, I don't know if we want to take him in, but you know, I don't know how serious that injury he's coming off of. You know, this might be a stretch, but, you know, how bad does Brandon Ingram really want to go back to the Pelicans? Because, you know, in all actuality, he doesn't fit well with Zion. His numbers dipped a little bit when Zion came back. When Zion wasn't around, Brandon Ingram was the man. So, you know, it's hard to say. I don't think we want to take a third try on Tim Hardaway Jr. here. I think that marriage needs to just cut it out. We're not going to keep doing this bad relationship stuff. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see. We do need to make some moves. I don't think we need another 19, 20-year-old. I think we do need somebody who's been in the NBA for a little while to kind of come and step in. But like I said before, I think Taj Gibson is valuable. You know, if we could keep him around like how Miami keeps Udonis Haslem, just to kind of mentor and guide these guys over these next few years, I don't think Thibodeau has to do much talking if he's going to be right there with us. You know, so I think that's where we're going to have to keep an eye on is whatever if we go guard heavy in the draft, we got to go big in free agency.
All right, cool, because that could be tackled on the next episode in 2 weeks when we get to the free agents. We have so much to discuss on that aspect alone, or other teams willing to make trades and go get the guy that they want. So let's move on for the rest of the NBA for the rest of this episode. Dom, we could talk about all these coaching moves, Stan Van Gundy in New Orleans. I kind of like Stan in the booth, you know, just like his brother. Doc Rivers, we kind of talked about it a little bit with Philadelphia after he got fired with the horrible job. I'm not exactly sure about Doc Rivers in Philadelphia. And then to add on to that, Dom, you have Daryl Morey coming from Houston to Philly. You know what I'm saying? As far as him not working it out in Houston and going to Philly, like, that doesn't make sense at all, especially what Daryl Morey wants to do. Billy Donovan, who was let go out of Oklahoma City, I don't understand that one. And they still don't even have a head coach, Dom. And he goes to the Bulls. J.B. Bickerstaff goes to the Cavs. Tyronn Lue, replaces Doc Rivers. Steven Silas replaces Tony. What's really surprising, Dom, in all this, Steve Nash, in Brooklyn, they had the virtual town hall for the Brooklyn Nets the other day. What's really interesting, and I couldn't get – if Brooklyn was really serious about winning, because I don't think Durant and Irvin really care for Steve Nash. I don't understand that. I mean, they may be buddy-buddy, but as far as respectable head coach, I thought somehow or some way with the connections with Sean Marks in Brooklyn that Greg Popovich would have found – he'd done all he could do in San Antonio. I thought he would have been the perfect coach for Kyrie Irving and – Kevin Durant, and that rugged Brooklyn Nets roster, that grind roster. That's San Antonio-ish. But, Don, what's your thoughts on all these head coaching moves, general manager moves, players that are free agents that be moving, Chris Paul, Bradley Beal? Give us your thoughts on any of that, and then we'll go back to Chris.
I told some friends of mine not long ago that Morey would have a job before Dan and Tony. I'm just going to leave that there because I hate to say it. What's his name? The GM, the former player that the Sixers had. Oh, man.
You're talking about Owen Brand?
Yeah. He kind of did some bad moves. Okay, acceptable. But I'll tell you what, that to me, guys, may turn out to be a good move. I think Morey got a little blacklisted with that incident with China just because he spoke his mind. Whatever the case may be, I knew he'd have a job before Mike D'Antoni. The rest of I don't understand. I hate to say this. I don't understand the Van Gundy thing. I don't, because he's old school with a new school NBA. You know, he ain't going to be dealing with all these seasoned vets. He's going to be dealing with guys that are playing Xbox on Instagram, trying to build a brand. Is he the right guy for that job? I don't know. The jury's out because other than his little run he had in Orlando, he hasn't been very successful. They took him out and brought Pat Riley down in Miami, if we all remember. He went to Detroit with all the power, destroyed that team. And you give him a head coaching job. There's a lot of guys out there, guys, the Sam Cassells, that ain't getting the shot. We're still into this recycling coaches. It's getting a little annoying, but I get it. I do. Tell you what, guys, they're going to be fun to watch because I think this is a train wreck ready to happen. I don't know if anybody else. I just don't think, unless they turn into the old Oklahoma City Thunder when it was Westbrook and Durant, you shoot, I shoot, you shoot, I shoot, and the rest of the team sits around waiting for their turn. I don't see this ending well, guys. I know a lot of people got high hopes for Brooklyn. I just don't see this ending very well with Durant, with his burner accounts, and Kyrie wanting to be the king of the castle. I don't care how good of friends they are. I just don't see this ending very well, fellas. That's just me. And then you throw a new coach with no experience. I know it's Steve Nash. You brought in Amari. I just don't see this ending well, guys. Again, that's me thinking outside. I like the Silas thing. I've seen him as an assistant coach for quite some time in Charlotte. that was a little taken out the box, giving him his first shot. But the rest of this, you know, this recycling, Philly, I got a funny feeling there's going to be some serious shakeups in Philadelphia. Some teams may prosper from this, but I don't think Daryl Morey is going to sit back and have a 6'10 guy playing point guard that can't shoot unless they move him to another position. And I like Ben Simmons, guys. I know this sounds crazy. Ben Simmons does everything Antetokounmpo does, except he passes better. He could go to the basket. He could rebound. He could pass. He's scared to shoot. But then again, Greek Freak can't shoot. So if the Sixers do unload Simmons, somebody's going to get a steal.
All right, cool. Now, Chris, any thoughts from you as far as the coaching moves, the coaching carousel, Dom, whatever Dom said, anything is on your mind? And then I'll speak, and then we'll go around for final thoughts after that.
So I do agree. We're seeing the same 25 coaches moving from place to place since we were in middle school. And it's getting redundant now. It's too much. Give these younger dudes a chance. I agree. Sam Cassell, he should have been a head coach maybe 2 years ago. Everybody else got a chance. You know, I think he should have gotten more consideration. I didn't even hear his name in top five consideration for any of these vacancies, and I think that's a travesty. You know, Chauncey Billups, he's been out there. Name just keeps coming up in different options. You know, I'm not sure what it's looking like. You know, there's a lot of potential guys that played in the NBA that were more relatable to the younger guys. Stan Van Gundy, he could coach the game. That is for certain. We've seen it. I mean, that Orlando team he took to the finals probably should have never made it to the finals. And he did a lot of, you know, he did a good job with a lot of players that we thought were okay or mediocre. So I do think he can coach the game. How well he's going to relate to these young guys, it's hard to say. You know, do you respect him because he's like your dad's age, or do you just not listen to him because he doesn't know you can't relate to him? You know, we'll find out in about a month. I do agree Philly is the team to keep an eye on. There's just way too many rumors. From the minute Doc got there, all you heard was rumors, and that's never a good sign. There's no way you're going to keep that team together. You bring in a new coach, a new head of basketball operations, your GM, he's already on the hot seat because he made some questionable contracts. Nobody wants to lose their job, so he's going to shake some things up. So do you keep Embiid or do you keep Simmons? I do like Simmons. He could do everything but shoot the basketball. I mean, he's been an all-star last 2 years. He's topping steals all the time. It's hard to say where they're going to go with that. But I do agree somebody's going to benefit off of what they do. I would at least try it out if I was Doc, but I'm not Doc. I'm sitting at home right now. So, you know, it is excuse me. It's just too many uncertain situations there.
All right. I just this combination of head coach and general manager is so odd that I don't know how that could work, man. I know they needed to replace Elton Brand, but come on. I mean, Daryl Morey is probably the most analytical general manager in the league, and Doc is a defensive. I mean, how does that work? And currently with Philly's roster, who do you add to get what he needs that's going to do at least a combination or similarities of both? I don't know. Not my problem. Don, final thoughts from you, and then we get to Chris. We're going to wrap up, man. Fantastic dialogue. We'll be back. Like I said, we'll be back in 2 weeks. But, Don, final thoughts from you, man.
The insulting thing to me when it comes to Sam Cassell, the Clippers went and got Lou, and then they got Chauncey Billups to be the assistant head coach. Cassell been sitting there for how long? I mean, you could take but so much egg on your face before you start scratching your head. This guy's been the longest-standing assistant coach since Patrick Ewing, and you never hear him mentioned. So That part I don't understand, and I think Cassell has a more relatable. I don't know him, but his age, his demeanor, the way he played, I think he has a more relatable style. But you looked right over him, not only for the head coach, but for the assistant head coach. That's kind of weird. But on that note, Steve, I got to give you and Coach the entertainment. There is a great series on HBO called The Undoing with Hugh Grant and Kidman. The first show, guys, was off the chart. It's a mini series, really? So you don't have to watch it for 101 episodes and season. It's just a mini series. And I'll tell you what, guys, the first show had you on edge, and I can't imagine where it's going from here. But on that note, Steve, as always, it's a pleasure. I love doing this. You know, thank you, and thank you too, Coach.
Yes, sir. Shout out to Don, Donardo DP on Twitter, man. Thanks, bro. And, of course, Chris, Coach, your final thoughts, man. I look forward to the dialogue in a couple of weeks when we get to more prospects and free agents. But, Coach, final thoughts from you, man.
Yeah, I agree. Sam Cassell helped Houston get 2 championships. Can't even get an interview. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's no way. But if you want a good brain numbing show to watch, Hoops is a cartoon on Netflix. It's about a basketball coach. Funny, inappropriate, but somewhat realistic at times. I watched it. I laughed. It just makes you dumb. But sometimes you need that to get away from the real world. So check that out.
All right, I wrote it down. The Undoing and Hoops. All right, now I'm sorry, damn. I came prepared for the prospects, but I don't have no movie recommendations or TV show recommendations. You know, I'm kind of a little bit of a geek, man. I've been watching some of these. They brought these game shows back. I love trivia. They brought back the Weakest Link. I've been watching that a lot lately, man. You know, since the baseball's out, man. When the Yankees are done, I'm done. I know you love baseball, Don, but man, I know the Dodgers won the World Series, yada yada yada. But man, do I have a recommendation? I mean, you know what they brought? You know, I'm a Fear of the Walking Dead dude. That is really underrated. I know some people don't like the Fear of the Walking Dead, the spinoff of the Walking Dead, and they even got a new series. I didn't even start yet, so I'll leave that. Now, Chris, this is more up your alley as far as sports boxing. I mean, the boxing has been phenomenal this past month. The Lomachenko, I mean, that's what I've been watching, too, is college football and boxing. The Lomachenko-Lopez fight was fantastic. I'm looking forward to the Garcia-Spence fight. So that's kind of where now that some of the sports is going away, I'm gonna check out you guys' shows, The Undoing and The Hoops. I'll watch a couple of episodes each, and I'll bring it to the next episode in 2 weeks. I can't thank you guys enough. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, shout out to Av as well. Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the Knicks. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll tackle more prospects and free agents here with the coach and with Dom. Guys, yeah, anything else you want to say? You got, you know, a couple more seconds, man. Dom, anything else you'd like to add? And Chris?
No, right, Dom, I can't think of this one on Amazon, but it's a pay movie with I think that girl Monet. It's like a thriller.
Homecoming.
No,
yeah.
I've seen that. I saw that series. There's a movie. It's a pay movie. While Coach is talking, I should be able to find it. It's supposed to be. I'm tempted, guys, to actually break down and get this movie because I heard so much about it and I can't find it right now and I'm holding you guys up, but I hear it's really, really good. And so I'm going to break down and then I'll have to give you guys a review. So I can't find it. I'm sorry. And I heard that.
That's all right. Cool. Right.
I heard that was pretty funny.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen the one that came out, what, 20 years ago? Oh, it's Bobby Miller.
Now they got another one.
He came back.
Yeah.
Sasha Baron Cohen. Coach, anything else you'd like to add, man? We're out of time, but you want to say final parts on that, and then we're out, man.
Sneakerheads on Netflix.
Oh.
You know, I'm a big sneaker guy. I got about 300 pairs here. Anybody who looks for sneakers, you know the issues. You develop PTSD trying to get sneakers. But I watched a couple episodes, and that's a funny show.
All right. Wow. That's going the PJ Tucker route or the collection of the sneakers, man. Shout out to the guys, man. We're out, Sandra. Go ahead. Say what?
No, I was going to say, man, trying to get sneakers now is a full-time job.
Oh, man. I can imagine. All right, guys. We out, man. Sandra, so enjoy the episode, ladies and gentlemen, stakeholders. Blee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.